but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
University of Oregon has had a great start. They are 2-0. The offensive line has looked great. And here to talk about it, Alik Terry, assistant coach, works with the offensive line at Oregon. Alik, long ways from your playing days at Wake Forest, man. What's it feel like to be coaching?
It feels great. Great to be at a place like the University of Oregon and to be doing what I love the most, coaching the offensive line here, man. It truly is a blessing.
When you were playing, even in high school maybe or at college at Wake Forest, did you think coaching, was that something you were always curious about?
I didn't know if I was going to get into coaching. My dad is a high school football coach down in Miami, Florida for 20 plus years. So I always knew I wanted to be around football. I didn't think I wanted to coach at all. Playing career ended short, unfortunately, but it forced me to force my hand into coaching. And it was the best decision I ever made, truthfully.
What was that like to have a dad coaching and be around, probably around football when you were for as long as you can remember?
I mean, it's all I know. I literally eat, sleep, breathe football. It's all I can never remember. All my best moments in life have been around my dad's high school program, being able to travel the country, to be exposing myself to college campuses and things of that nature. And majority of my family all plays football. So to be around football literally day in and day out for as long as I can remember is what I've encompassed my life in literally since the day I was born.
Is that how you got to know Mario Cristobal? Because I know he brought you along as part of his staff. I mean, is that the Miami connection or was that just... that just happened as a coincidence?
Yeah, that was the Miami connection. Built a relationship with Coach Cristobal and Coach Mirabal, with my dad obviously having a relationship with them prior, with recruiting a ton of the guys at my school prior. And then I actually got recruited by both of them while I was getting recruited, was almost about to commit to Coach Mirabal at Marshall at the time coming out of high school. So that relationship was built from that standpoint, and then it is built to what it's become now.
You are now on the other side of the ball, but you had guys previously like Panay Sewell that you coached, and you know, you're seeing some younger guys today. Let's go back to Panay, though, before we jump into what you're currently seeing. You know, what were your impressions when you coaching that guy and what he's done as a pro now?
I mean, it was something that we all clearly seen. He is literally one of the most special players I've ever been around and ever witnessed. So to be able to see that on an everyday basis, I say that I think the cool thing about football is the players that the world thinks are special is having the privilege to be able to see them every day, day in and day out at practice. Because the things the world got to see, I wish they would have saw some of the things we got to see at practice when him going up against guys like Kayvon Thibodeau and being able to show off his athleticism and his skill set literally from a young age. And the blessing for me to have him as one of the first players I was able to coach when my coaching career started, it was truly a blessing because you got to see somebody do it at literally the highest level, be able to help them take their game to that next level and see like, okay, if you can match an extreme athlete with extreme technique and fundamentals, what player he could be.
Yeah, and it's amazing because we got to see him catch some passes too. And I always wonder in that situation, you always see the offensive lineman leak. You were one of these guys who are running around before practice or after practice, catching passes and wanting to be part of the offense, do everything you can't do while you're in the trenches. But is that something you guys saw or was it just like in a meeting, you know, you identify that Panay is just such a good athlete. Hey, how do we get him the ball and try to have some fun with this?
I mean, it was clear as day. You would see Panay throwing and catching the ball pre-practice. And you could clearly see, all right, this man can do literally whatever he wants to. He just happens to be 330 pounds. We used to say it jokingly all the time. He was a tight end trapped in the offensive line's body. But when you get to, when you can move the way he does, and obviously he's offensive lineman, you can kind of hide ways to try to find ways to get him the ball. Because once he does get the ball, he can do some special things with it, as long as it's within 5 yards. But you can see the NFL, the Detroit Lions have done a ton of stuff. Even when I was at the Vikings, they sealed the game against us with him running the flat route, and he caught that thing. So, I mean, he was been an extreme athlete, and the fact that they're still utilizing it now at the NFL level, you know, that tells you how rare he is in himself.
Alik Terry is our guest, offensive line coach, University of Oregon. You got 2 games in the belt. What do you see on film when you watch your guys in the trenches? What have you done well? What do you need to work on?
I think the best thing that I've seen so far is a bunch of physicality and a bunch of effort and strength to finish. I think we can always clean up execution. That's been the best, the biggest part in my mind, obviously, with a ton of new guys, just cleaning up the execution. But guys still executing at a high rate, but we always want to aim for perfection. So to me, cleaning up the execution part, but these guys have been playing with, like, their hair's on fire, playing with physicality and playing with strain. I mean, just a credit to our whole offense, not only just the offensive line. Guys are straining to finish blocks, man. It shows the love that these guys have for each other. So it's good to see that it's not just happening amongst the offensive line, but the running back group, the receiver group, and the tight end group as well.
What's the hardest thing to teach when you're teaching a young offensive lineman?
Young offensive lineman is to maintain the physicality while also maintaining your responsibility when it comes to assignment and alignment and being able to execute the job at hand. You know, these young guys, they've come from high school careers where they had 30, 40 pancakes. And you come to college, and it's a little bit harder to get those. So, and obviously, guys that you're going up against have been in a college strength and conditioning program for 3 to 4 years. So you may not just be as physically able as everybody else. So getting them to understand confidently how to do their job and their responsibility while maintaining the physical nature that's necessary to get the job done.
You in college, I noticed one of your majors was entrepreneurship. What did you want to do with that? And what were you thinking at the time?
At that time, I just wanted to get in business. So I had a minor in entrepreneurship and a minor in business as well. And honestly, didn't know exactly what I wanted to do when my playing days were over. But I've always been around a bunch of entrepreneurs who do things as far as building up their own businesses. And I just wanted the knowledge to be able to build myself up to understand, because my major was in communications with a little bit of a focus on advertising. Mm. So I wanted to just put myself also on the advertising side, but also the enough of wisdom and knowledge to learn how to run a business if I ever did want to do so. I remember coming out of college, I had my own sneaker business, a buy, sell, trade, like a consignment business. And I was a part of the entrepreneurship program at Wake Forest, and that was a really good business for me. They did a tremendous job with their, like, they had like an incubator there at the time, and it was good for student athletes and students overall to use. So I took advantage of that. But once I finished school, man, I knew I wanted to get back into coaching and be around football.
It's interesting because you watch, like, on TikTok videos, you know, see these guys that are buying and selling sneakers, and you know, they're keeping the boxes, obviously. Like, I throw the box out, right? You'd probably cringe, right, when I buy a pair of sneakers. And so, but these guys are walking around with like $50,000 in sneakers in their arms.
No doubt. And I think that's probably the cool part about the University of Oregon itself is obviously being a sneakerhead lover myself and then being able to be at a place of this magnitude when it comes to sneakers and the things we have access to and the things our players get. I mean, it's cool to be a part of something like this, obviously, with the history that this place has with Nike and what Nike meant to our organization, what it is to our organization. It's so cool to be a fan of the shoes and really be a part of what the history is.
Dan Lanning had that vein going in his neck before the last game when he was talking about, you know, be the bull, we're the bull. You know, what is it like to work with Dan Lanning?
I mean, it's a blessing. It truly is the best in the game, and we get the privilege to be able to see it and be a part of it every single day. Man, the world just gets to see a few six-minute clips of it, but to see the consistency, to see the thoroughness, to see how there is no the box that goes unchecked, man. We are blessed to have him as our leader, and he keeps this thing going and keeps this thing rolling. And like the world sees for 6 weeks, I mean, for 6 minutes every week, he is a master motivator, man. Our guys are ready to run through a wall for him every single day, and man, it's a blessing to be a part of it, to be going alongside him every single week.
Has he changed a little bit? Because, you know, he was a first-time head coach, and I gather he would learn some things in year one and year two that he's now using in year four.
Yeah, I mean, I think change is inevitable because one of our key pillars is growth, and that's one thing he lives by. I mean, so yeah, I would say he changed, but the person is still the same in the sense of the culture is still the culture, the standard is still the standard, and he's going to maintain that. But if there's things and nuances that need to change within that, he has no issue doing that. And I think it's so good for our players to see because they see that the head man can do so, and he's willing to change if it's necessary. They're going to make the changes that are necessary as well. So, I mean, that speaks volumes to everybody in this organization because it starts with the leader, and he does it. And he's going to be thorough in doing so because if he's making a change, we all know it's something that's necessary.
Ndamukong Suh, who grew up in the Portland area, talked about playing soccer as a kid. I know Panay Sewell played other sports. As an offensive line coach, what would you say to parents who have maybe a young offensive lineman in their household who's, you know, in the seventh or eighth grade? And, you know, should they be playing other sports? Should they be focusing only on football? What's your advice?
My advice is to play as many sports as possible. Because one, offensive line is the most unnatural position in sports. So you want to be able to connect your brain to your body. I say it all the time. The best offensive linemen, like Panay, like you said, were guys who played soccer, who played basketball, who played baseball. If you can understand hand-eye coordination and you know how to control and move those big bodies, we call them dancing bears. If you know how to control them, it's much easier for you to be an offensive lineman because people call them the big uglies and the big fat guys, but you're literally tasked to block the most athletic humans on the field when it comes to like guys like Mateo and Tatum. So you have to have the ability to be able to control your body. If you only play one sport, you don't give your child the necessary opportunities to be able to feel what his body can or cannot do. And being able to play baseball, being able to play basketball, being able to catch, and being able to change your body, it only helps you become a better offensive lineman when that time is necessary.
The athleticism that I see in this group that you have right now is phenomenal. And, you know, you got an opponent in Northwestern. That's a Big Ten game, conference game. What do you see on film when you watch Northwestern's front and their front seven or so?
You see a physical group that loves to play the game together. They play sound football. They play technically sound football. And they never seem to be in a wrong call. They always seem to be on the same page with each other. And they all play with relentless effort. So we know for us, like I said, execution being a big piece for us, just making sure we do an elite job of communication, elite job of making sure we identify whatever they give us and being able to attack it. And like you said, with our guys' athleticism, making sure we use that as an advantage.
Coach, favorite pair of sneakers all time. What's like your dream sneaker?
All time, I'm having to go Galaxy Foam Posits.
Do you have a pair?
I do not. Those are one of those pairs that have a crazy number amount to it. Yeah. If I ever get them, it happened to be because somebody loves me enough to get them.
You're gonna have to make a trade. You know what you'll have to do is an exclusive team issued shoe. You'd have to make a trade. Like it would have to be.
Yeah.
You know, I love that.
If it's exclusive team issued, I'm not getting rid of it.
No, that too. There you go. All right. Hey, Thanks for coming on with us. Love to have you back on, Alik Terry. Thank you so much.
Appreciate y'all so much. Blessings.
There you go. Good luck. There he goes, offensive line coach, University of Oregon. You heard his dream sneaker. Like, I'm not kidding. I've watched those sneaker TikTok, those YouTube videos. Those sneakerheads, they are in it. Leave it here. What's the Pac-12 going to do next? And how long will St. Mary's wait for an invitation? I'm going to talk about it. You've got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.